spirit of truly known alarm. And do we believe what this book says?
I do. Amen.
Do we believe what it says? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then in Mark 4, 1, it says, "And Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear." Okay, and then also, and then it's on the front page here, it says, "To the Jews who have believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, then you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, and then I want to go ahead and just ask everybody kind of a question here. Do you really think that you've been given a great opportunity to have life, just to be here?
Mm-hmm, of course, every day.
I mean, we really have, right?
Yeah.
Well, then, because we've been given an opportunity in life, it's a very precious thing. It's just a great opportunity. Much is expected of us. And so I want us to go to Luke 12:48. And I have another Bible too, I think.
I got one. Right
here. Do
you?
Yeah. Yeah, let's go ahead and then.
I think I bought it. Yeah, I did. I'm just sharing one.
Yeah, let's go ahead and Luke 12:48. And I'm actually going to go ahead and. I'm going to go ahead and read this one for us, and it's in the second half of it. And this is really my favorite verse, and it's the second portion. I want you to go into the middle of it, and everybody say that there. Are they there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." So the Lord is saying that, and we all, everybody by our own admission here, is said that we've been given much, this opportunity of life. So with that, much is required of us, without a doubt. And so then what I want us to do is go over to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5:15. And Brian, I want you to go ahead and read that, please. 1 Thessalonians.
Okay. 5:15.
Yeah. I gotta get myself right here. Thessalonians.
All right.
Okay.
5:15. See that none render.
I'm sorry. I'll go 5 through 19, brother.
Sure.
Yeah, are you there?
Hold on.
Okay, yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, you're fine.
1 Thessalonians 5:15 through 19. Okay.
Now, wait 1 second.
You good?
Okay. After Colossians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit."
Okay. Well, we must just rejoice evermore. And so daily we're supposed to really be rejoicing. You know, it says pray without ceasing, means all the time. But the key phrase, and this is my second favorite Bible verse. So these two are my two favorite Bible verses, and I wanted to read that. And you know, Ryan, I want you to read that. I want you to read that for me again. 5:18. Just read 5:18 again, Ryan.
Yep. You can give thanks.
Yep. "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus."
Okay. I want you to read that for me, Rich.
"Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus."
Gabby, can you read that for me?
"In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you."
Leon, could you read that for me?
"In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God to Christ, in Christ Jesus
concerning you.
And I'm going to read it myself. So everybody here has read this, and we've got a couple different versions. Is it?
We had it underlined.
Amen.
That's so funny.
Praise God. And I want to say, I'm going to read one more. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yeah.
Now, is there anything we don't get, team, about this?
All things.
I want to ask you, is there anything that we don't understand about this?
Pretty clear.
Okay, so are we supposed to grumble, moan, and groan?
Nope.
No, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. Okay. And why did I decide to go back to school if I go to college? I want to learn something, right? What do teachers want to do? What do they really want to do, Gavin? What do teachers really want to do?
They want to teach.
They want to teach, right. So early we talked about is Jesus teaching, right? Mm-hmm. This word, we all said we believe it, so it teaches us. Now what is it that we don't get about that verse? And I, so often I hear all the saints and Christians complaining.
Complaining.
Constantly.
Grumbling.
Complaining all the time. I don't like my job.
Yeah.
It's one. You know what? Is it, shoot, I wish I was married. You know, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. It's a bad day. That person mistreated me. They're talking bad about me. It's wrong. It is so wrong.
Yeah. This is like something I've struggled with this past week. It just speaks to me so much. It's unbelievable. I'm just amazed, really.
Praise God.
Because I've just been, you know, wanting and kind of feeling sorry for myself, and I really had to sit back and and think, you know, I want for nothing, and God loves me completely. You know, praise God. And it's like things really just fell into place and really just started coming to me, and it was just everything that happens, it's praise God, and it just changed me.
You know, amen. And you know what's so amazing, sister, and it's a living testimony of you being here. You had it underlined. It speaks directly to you. It's ordained. It's known that you're walking in God's will. And it's a wonderful thing to have that confirmation and then to see Brother Brian, you know, talking about he knows that God's got him there. And we really, I've got to tell you, the reason why I'm saying this is my favorite Bible verse, it is the one that takes you from the immature believer to the mature believer with power and authority in this world. If you want the abundant life, this is the key that unlocks all the doors. Period. Now, I could close the Bible study up right now. Because that verse almost says it all. If you catch yourself moaning and groaning and complaining, let me tell you what, you got a problem. Now, most certainly, there's a difference, too, though, when you're willing to live in sin. Mm-hmm. Because there's a difference there is that you want to hold on to the world. And your thinking's not right. And then you will see, there's two reasons why you'll hear, I believe, Christian grumbling. One is there's a sin issue in their life when they're a carnal Christian. That's one issue. The other issue is they're not a mature believer. They're just not mature. And I'm not saying that somebody that grumbles is a sinner. I'm not throwing that stone. I'm telling you that they're not a mature believer. Is that if you want authority, you want to walk in power, you want to walk in victory, that verse does it, says it, all. And that's the truth for real victory in our lives. It will break anything. And it really will. And I've learned it, and I can definitely say without a doubt, I've seen an operation here in this room with a couple of you guys here and that I know that have been in this Bible study. And it's so encouraging to hear what you said. We have to hold on to that. And that is the truth, and that truth will set you free completely.
And you know what? It's funny because when I was on Delta Dorm, this one kid hit. I mean, this kid, horrible. I mean,
horrible. And I was like, and I got to the point where I was like, you know what? Instead of just saying, man, this kid is horrible, in my mind, why not start praying for him and thanking the Lord that I have opportunity to try to talk some sense into him. And he really has turned around big time right now. And, you know, cross-reference, I had it written here. In Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just another scripture saying the same thing. Always. In all things. Consistent.
That's exactly right.
You look at Paul, you know, that's what he did. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I can't think of one instance in the Bible where it records Paul moaning and groaning. Ever. And he had the stuff he went through.
He's in prison when he was writing these. I thought about something, you know, when I was doing my Bible study. It was about 3 or 4 days ago. No, about a week ago. I flew into town. Spent the night here in St. Augustine, shot to Flagler Beach, got up at 4 o'clock in the morning, went to West Palm Beach, turned around the next day, coming back to Flagler, came here, and I was tired. And I started moaning and groaning. And say, oh, I wish I had a wife, and, you know, I'm doing this all this stuff by myself, blah, blah, blah. You know, feeling sorry for myself. And it was just, and I was listening, I was saying it to myself. And I said, what in the world am I complaining about? I mean, I just wound up surfing in Flagler Beach early in the morning. I wound up going down to West Palm Beach. I saw my son. I wound up jogging early in the morning. It was great. And then I was like, what am I doing? And then, you know, it hit me, that verse. Now, I'll tell you, that particular verse has just worked miracles in my life for the last 20 years. It's been such a great, great verse. But I was telling Rich what happened, why I was grumbling. I didn't go to church on Sunday. I missed my Bible study. And for almost 3 days, I didn't read my Bible. And I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And I tell you what works for me, it's ironclad. If I read my Bible, if I get up early and I read my Bible every day, and I get a little bit of exercise just to go ahead and calm the physical side, man, I'm going to tell you what, I'm the happiest guy on the planet. Life is so good, but it's because of God's Word, without a doubt. And so I wanted to talk to you guys about really, because besides Leon, you know, you guys are a little bit younger, and
a lot.
Is it, and that particular verse, I can remember having my back up against the wall. You know, Mr. Ward passed away. I was 30 years old, and had, you know, I was wearing a bulletproof vest. I had a personal bodyguard going all this stuff. And I remember thanking the Lord and not grumbling and reading Psalms. And man, it was victory after victory after victory after victory after victory, because it was the right attitude.
It's like instantaneous, too.
It is. You know what? It really is. Because you know what? God knows it. He hears it. It's like if your son comes to you and says, Mommy, I love you. Would you forgive me? Or I'm sorry, you know, but I really love you. You're the best mom in the world. Oh, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's that way. You know, that's the way Dad works. He's forgiven. And actually, I wasn't planning on this verse, but I want us to go to Lamentations. Let me see where that is. And that's in the Old Testament.
Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations.
Yeah, and I wanted to go to this, and I thank the Lord for this. And Leon, it's Lamentations 3, and if you could read 21 to 23.
Chapter?
3, 21 through 23. When everybody's there, tell me.
Good.
Are you there?
No.
Lamentations, it's right after Isaiah and Jeremiah. I think, is it Isaiah? Yeah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Old Testament, after Proverbs and Psalms. No, we love it. We absolutely love it. It's the only way that we learn.
There's some books I can never find. I don't care how many they talk about.
Same here.
I'm like, really, what in the world?
There you go. Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 23, and Brother Leon's going to read that.
This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed.
Amen.
Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
Now, that's an awesome verse that every morning we can say that. And you know, guys, that if there's a sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. But if you look at that verse, he says that his mercy is new every morning. Praise God for that, and great is his faithfulness, and that we're not consumed because his compassion fails not. And this I'm going to go on to, if Brian, you could read verses 32 and 33. I'm sorry, 32 and 33.
Same chapter?
Yes.
But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men.
And what's interesting, guys, what takes place there, and there was a man that I was hoping it was going to be here that doesn't know the Lord, but God does cause grief. And when it says, but though he cause grief, he'll have compassion. And the grief is that people willingly sin. And what winds up happening is when we do wrong, we're going to get punishment, man. There's chastisement associated with doing the wrong thing. I mean, it's a reality. But he'll have compassion on us if we'll turn from our ways. And you know, it's amazing that it says he does not afflict willingly. He doesn't want to do that. All we've got to do is follow the instruction book.
That's right.
That's really what it boils down to. Now, I'm talking about the sinner, but also we know that there are times of affliction. And why are there times of affliction? Go to Philippians 1:29.
Not that one.
And I'm a brother Rich that read that one.
It reminds me too, like with God moving our jobs around. Like, he's moving them around because he has a plan, but to us it's like grief, you know, like we're like, oh my gosh, but if you choose to give thanks to the Lord, there's no grief in that.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's not trying to like make your life hard, he's trying to like accomplish his will. And you make, if you're like, well, I don't want this, and you're going to get mad, then you make yourself upset. You know, he's not trying to cause you any grief.
And I think too, what you just brought, that's such a good point, because that's when I think you quench the spirit. When we looked at that earlier on, is that it says in Thessalonians, rejoice everyone, pray with that, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Quench not the spirit. It says right after that. So if you're grumbling and all that, you're quenching the spirit. He just said, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, quench not the spirit. So God's moving you around, just like you said with your job, and that you're all upset about what's going on, and you're quenching the spirit. Not saying, you know, God, you know what's best. I love you. Thanks for moving
right.
me around. This has changed. The plan's changed. I'm here to serve you. Not my will, but thine will.
And it doesn't mean it's going to be easy.
No.
So then that's it.
Yeah, it's not like, okay, you know, I'm giving thanks to the Lord, and, you know, I'm never going to have a problem in my life again. It's, you know,
all
and
right.
God does that to see what's in your heart anyway.
It's part of the test, and that's what we're going to talk a little bit here about. How do we get taught?
Yeah.
Philippians 1:29, if you're there, tell me.
Yes.
I'm here.
Hold one sec.
We're good.
Okay.
For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. You want 32?
No, just that right now. I want us to think about it. Read that again.
Yeah. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him.
Now, isn't that's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And so when I do think about you, Brian, when I think about that,
mm-hmm.
Without a doubt, and that there's no question about it. What's one of the fruits of the Spirit?
Long suffering.
Do you know where that verse is, the fruit of the Spirit?
Yeah, Galatians.
Okay, could you get to that? Let's go to Galatians 6. I think it's, it's 622.
I'm sorry, it's 5. I think it's 5.
No, 522.
Yeah, it's 5, not 6, yeah.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 522, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Gabby, can you go ahead and read that? Galatians 5:22.
You want 23 as well?
I'm sorry, yes.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
That is so awesome. There is no law. All right, guys, remember we were talking about when we give thanks unto God, we're not, and it says not to quench the Spirit. All right, but what does it say the fruits of the Spirit are? Praise God for them. There's love. It's such a beautiful thing. And it's so wonderful to see the love with you guys. It's, I mean, and I love God. I mean, and I love life. I want to tell you with this. I love life. I love it. I'm going to say it again. I love it. It's a good thing. And I'll tell you why I love it. Because Christ is in me. I don't love it. I wouldn't love it without Christ.
Yep.
I love the abundant life because I have Christ. I don't love the world at all.
You know,
but I love life.
When you're you know, walking with the Lord and you're in fellowship with Him, you know, the sky's bluer, everything smells better. It really does. Like, and when you're outside, you know, the same, you know, sky doesn't look as good. But when you're walking with the Lord, it looks amazing.
It's just different. Well, it is, brother. And you know, just what it says. It says it's love, it's joy, it's peace. But Brian, what's that next one after love, joy, and peace? It says long suffering.
Yep.
And that's how we can relate to Christ. So the reality of is, what's part of our education there? It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's the way God teaches us.
Yeah.
And so it's a fruit of the Spirit. And so if you think about it, you're walking in His will, what does He want to do? He wants to teach us. He wants us to become mature believers, is what He's looking to do. And so for His glory, so that we can wind up being used by the Master. But if you were just doing the same old thing every day, you know, in the world, are you going to wind up being any good for Him? It's not going to happen. Then it says gentleness. Thank goodness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. Guys, there is nothing that can restrain us. There's absolutely nothing that can hold us back. But what we have to do is remember there is suffering involved. But we can't quench the Spirit. We have to go ahead and bring in that powerful spiritual breakthrough. Scripture is that to give thanks in all things. So we're just so thankful that that's great. And of course, then I want to read 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lusts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know what I think is an affliction? Depression. Mm-hmm. A lot of people will wind up getting depressed. They really will. That's because they're walking in the flesh. They're not giving God thanks. And they'll slide into that depression because they're talking a bunch of stuff. You know, woe is me, woe is me, woe is me. And unfortunately, is they're quenching the Spirit is what winds up happening. And you know, when you quench the Spirit, man, I'm telling you what, there's an opportunity for you going into depression. And I also think it can be demonic too, to a certain degree. Demonic influences. So we just got to remember, we all understand this, we're going to get love, we're going to have joy, we're going to have peace, but there are going to be times of suffering, long suffering. But why do we suffer?
To learn.
Mm-hmm. For His sake. It's to equip us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now 1 Peter 5:10 it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." You're going to suffer. The Bible says in Timothy, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Even says Jesus Christ learned things through suffering. It says, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience through the things which He suffered. Even Jesus Christ had to learn some things, because He never was in the flesh before He came in the flesh, and He learned obedience to God through the things that He suffered.
Did you see that?
He learned through suffering.
Do you see Him complaining in that book?
Mm-hmm. No.
I don't see a whole lot of complaining going on in that book.
Yeah. Doesn't mean He didn't, you know, I'm sure He got, you know, look at His, He spent 3.5 years teaching His disciples, and then, you know, he knew everything that was going to happen, and then they forsake Him. I'm sure that discouraged Him. Mm-hmm. He got discouraged.
Sure He did.
He got discouraged, no doubt. I mean, the angels had to come and strengthen Him in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
The Son of God needed encouragement.
That's right. Because it's amazing. It showed purely that He was all man.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah. I'm glad He knows what we go through. He already went through it. In fact, He went through worse than any of us ever go through.
Oh, without a doubt.
Can you imagine putting all the sins of the world on your back and having never sinned?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so funny now. It's like, my aunt's like, well, I'm just angry with God because the way my mother died of cancer. I said, hold on. I said, okay. But did you know Christ suffered more than anything she'll ever go through? I said, can you imagine? He never sinned ever, and he was willing to take all her sins, your sins, my sins, everyone's sins on himself, and you know sin. Don't tell me about, I'm mad at God because this person's... Christ, God was willing to partake all that stuff himself. He didn't have to.
Well, imagine what 5 minutes of his torture was like.
Mm-hmm.
Being whipped with a whip with metal pieces on the end of it, spit on, slapped around, and...
Die naked in front of in the creation.
Right.
The creation he made, he died naked on a cross in front of all creation. Talk about embarrassing. That's my company right there. I want to be in his company. I don't know about you. I'm glad to be with him and anybody else.
Well, I'm going to tell you that is the truth, brother. Okay. If we could only understand how much God loves us, and truly, because he never changes, you know, we would be set free from any forms of disappointment. If we really just understood how much he truly loves us. You know, that I believe God has provided us a way, I think we all do because we believe in Christ, to experience a love that doesn't change. And that's because of his... life and death and resurrection, and I can tell you guys, I'm sure that you guys just have to realize that we got to accept that love, and we really accept that he died that for us on the cross, that we really have got everything that we could want out of life. Then what are we doing murmuring, complaining about anything? And so that's why we really have got to remember that. And then also I wanted to say, God knows our frame, right? And he says that no temptation or trial, we could say, well, it's going to seize us, that's common unto man, but he'll provide a way of escape. That's just so reassuring to us. And, you know, God knows exactly how much we can take.
Yep.
And I most certainly can say, you know, recently we all know in the fellowship that, you know, I was getting close, mm-hmm. you know, with a lot of concerns on my mind, but I didn't grumble. And complain. I wasn't complaining, and I want to tell you that it wasn't me. I mean, I certainly know the old John Horan would have, but because I have become a mature believer, and that's because of God. I'm not saying that I'm the greatest guy in the world. I'm not by any means, but I can definitely say that I think I'm starting to become a mature believer, and knowing that God knows my frame. He knows your frame. He knows how hard you can be pushed, and he's not going to push you as far. But like any athlete, he's going to train you. And sometimes it hurts when we're being trained. And the reality of it, I mean, you guys know what? You know, sometimes that pain feels pretty cotton picking good when you're done, because you've accomplished your task, you've done well, and you're like, man, I can't believe I accomplished that. And I can definitely say this right now, that what was behind me, those things that took place that seemed so hard, they really weren't that hard. If you look at it now today where you're at. You know, you say, oh, that was a hard time in my life. But you know what? Get ready. There might be a harder one coming. And so he trains us. And, you know, you want to be a better athlete. I want to be a better athlete. You want to be a better teacher or whatever in our profession. Well, get ready. Dad's going to train us, you know, for sure. So if we really want to be used by him, you know, we got to get ready. Now, you know, there are seasons. Mm-hmm. We all know that. You know, there are times that we've got to really be prepared for those seasons. So, you know, the message in this with this Bible study is, you know, get ready, without a doubt. But I also believe this too. You said it. There's a time of suffering, mm-hmm. and we'll get through it. Yep. You know, we don't know what God's got in store, and I really pray God's mercy on all of us, for sure. But you know, he's got a plan for each one of us, very specific. And each one of us has got to work out our own salvation. Mm-hmm. You know, it's individual. So God knows exactly what He's got in store for us. We believe that completely. And you know, His grace, His mercy, you know, is new every morning. But, you know, we just got to remember that we got to handle it the right way and quench not that spirit. Because if you do quench the spirit, I want to tell you what, you are setting yourself up for some disappointment. And I'm really going to wind up saying harassment. You're going to be absent. You're going to be separating yourself from the Lord. Even though God's going to be close, but when you've got that grumbling spirit, let me tell you what happens. You're going to prolong the misery. That's what's going on.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, yeah. And yeah, I was telling Gabby too. I said, you know, I know God wants me here, but I still have that choice. I could either stay put, stand firm where I'm at, or I could quit. I still have that choice.
Mm-hmm.
But I know what God's word, you know, what He wants from me concerning the matter. And I was like, I'm gonna make that. I'd rather be where God wants me to be then.
Well, you know, and I think what we can do as mature believers talk about is, you know, guys, if we are grumbling and complaining about stuff, you know, in my opinion, really we're sinning. Because we know the message here right now. And see, the thing is, what we want to remember too is God is going to discipline us. He wants us, He said, be holy for I'm holy. This whole thing to us being here on earth is to be conformed to the likeness of Christ.
That's
the number one goal, 100%. And so, if we're going to be disobedient, then there is going to be discipline.
Yeah.
I tell you what I really don't want anymore in my life, and I've got it. Regret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't want any more regret in my life. I've made some whopper mistakes.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Some things I think about, you know, Paul said, forget the things that are behind, press forward towards the mark, and forget the former things. Yeah, but they linger around. You think about those things. But I don't want any regret. And there's a couple things that I really regret in my life. But I tell you what, God disciplined me, and I'm so thankful He did, because I've learned from Him that I'm definitely a better man,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to repeat those mistakes ever again. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've got a great fellowship here, and thank the Lord for all the friends and the things that He's doing. The Lord has been faithful in my life, and I mean this 100%, guys. He's answered every prayer. I've asked. Every
That's right.
prayer that I've asked in my life. 1,000 for 1,000, the Lord's answered every one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, I've got regrets. I'm a sinner. I've made huge mistakes in my life, without a doubt. But I'm not going to repeat them. And I do know this, I'm going to thank the Lord that I learned from them. And that's what we need to do.
Yep.
So tonight's in a really important message that's being taught for us to really be learning from watching our words, the right spirit. We want to quench the spirit, and you know, so you know, we can learn from our we can be disciplined for our sin, and I can definitely say, you know, sometimes we'll willingly sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll do something that we know we're not supposed to do, and we do it. And I, you know, I've shared with Brian, Gabby, and Rich a little bit. My big thing is, in the past, was I really liked to grab a couple cold beers and go to the beach by myself. And the Lord's told me not to do that, because every single time I've done that, then somebody's called me and wanted to talk about the Lord, or somebody needs to pray. I mean, every time, you know. And it's also about a witness. Is there anything wrong with having a couple beers? I'm going to say there isn't. For me, I'm not supposed to do it. The Lord's told me not to do it more than once. And so, and then would I go out and still do it? Yeah, I have. Well, the Lord told me, I don't want you to do that. And then somebody would pick up the phone, and He said, John, I want you to be always ready for my service.
Yeah.
At all times. And I can tell you, I can go to that beach and sit there and drink a strawberry smoothie and be as happy as a clam too.
Yeah.
You know, but the old guy, the old beach boy, the surfer boy, likes to have a six-pack of beer and go to the beach and hang around and just, you know, forget work and all that stuff. And I'm willing to say, and you know what? Discipline happens every time. I mean, and so that's the one thing. But the difference, though, now is I don't want regrets. So I don't want. I'm not going to willingly sin. I really believe this, that I'm really past that point.
Amen.
I believe that that's where I'm at in my life.
Good.
You know, if that when that dirty picture comes up on the internet and it's sent to me, man, get that out of my face. I don't even want to see it.
Yeah.
You know, and that stuff is bombarding you. I mean, just don't even want to look at that nonsense at all. And it might sound crazy, but I want my mind to just be thinking about my wife. Even though I haven't met her yet, but I know she's coming. And so, you understand what I'm saying? Is it so? I don't want any regrets in my life. And so, I'm not perfect, man, but I definitely know this, that I'm doing my best. I'm not going to willfully sin. I'm going to do everything in my power not to willfully sin. So, and you know what? If that pornography comes up there and you look at it, well, I want to tell you what. You should not give the Lord thanks. You should repent.
That's right.
Okay? So let's not give him thanks in all things. That's sinning.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
All right. I want, Brother Leon, can you read John 10:10? Hey, could you grab me a water?
Gotcha.
Thanks, brother. Anybody need anything else?
Yeah, can I get a water, too? Appreciate it.
Man, you're a thirsty cowboy, did it today. Too. And we'll go ahead and have you go ahead and read it. Okay, Leon, go ahead and read it.
You want to wait on?
No, go ahead.
The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that ye might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
That's pretty darn awesome, isn't it, guys? He's telling us that we can really have life more abundantly. But we got to remember, too, that we really have an enemy.
Yep.
I mean, so as the Christian, we got to face the fact that we are in a battle. And so when there's things we're being bombarded, and we have to say, well, Lord, I thank you that I'm going to have to get the victory over it, that my enemies aren't going to crush me. And so we need to be thanking God that He's already won those battles. We've got to handle it the right way, but we've got to remember that we've got a battle. But you know what? That's a powerful verse for us to remember that Jesus came this life into this world so we may have life more abundantly. Brian, I want you to go ahead and read 1 Peter 1:7. Rich, I want you to go ahead. No, and then Ryan, I want you to go to 1 Peter 4:12. Brian, you're 1 Peter 1:7. Ryan, you're 1 Peter 4:12. And 13. I want you to do 1 Peter 4:12 and 13, Ryan, and you're going to do 1 Peter 1:7.
All right, ready?
Yep.
All right. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
I want to go ahead and read this again. And this is really important, guys. I think this is huge. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than gold. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
And I mean, holy, that would be tried with fire, difficult, might be found under praise and honor and glorying at the appearing of Jesus Christ. You know what, guys? It's really amazing. Our faith is going to be tried. It's more valuable than gold. And it says that it might be found with praise and honor. You know, I can definitely tell you, there's not going to be praise and honor if you're sitting there grumbling.
That's right.
And complaining.
Well, right. You know what happened with those that murmured in the wilderness. What did God do to them?
Ooh.
Send them to hell. Earth opened up and they went right down to hell.
That's exactly right.
And they're still there right now.
John, which one did you want me to
read? Okay, and I want you to go ahead and read 1 Peter 4:12 and 13.
Go love, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Amen, guys. So it's not to be, we don't need to think it to be strange.
I think we need to read the next verse too.
Go ahead.
Look, it says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've suffered reproach for the name of Christ. And I've rejoiced in those times, and that, you know, and that's what you're supposed to do. And there's a reason for that, because one, it just shows, you know, the Spirit of God's upon you, and two, God's being glorified. Even though they're speaking evil, it says on their part, he is evil spoken of. They're speaking evil of Jesus because of you, but you're doing right. You know, if they're speaking evil of Jesus and you're sinning, God ain't getting any glory of that. But if they're speaking evil of Jesus because of your life, but you're right, you're doing what's right in the sight of the Lord, he gets glory.
That's right.
Right, how many, let's be honest, how many prophets and apostles suffered? All of them.
Uh-huh.
Every single last one of them. What makes you think you're exempt? If you're going to live godly, come on.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to suffer, man. You're going to be made fun of. Alright, I'm sure some of you guys, after you've been saved, family, their things.
Well,
let me tell you.
Your
friends have things to say.
Going to college,
right
here, I can definitely say walking through the school, feeling so alienated at the beginning of some semesters, where I'd walk by students and they would look the other way.
Yep.
They'd be in my class, and I'd even when they'd walk by me, I'd look straight at them. They would look the other way, and I'd even say, "Hey, how you doing today?" And they wouldn't even answer at all. But you know what? That was the beginning of the semester. At the end of the semester, they were coming to me, asking me for advice and counsel and knocking on this door. And I can definitely say, I'd say, well, Lord, you know, I'm a little sad that, you know, that a lot of students aren't talking to me. And I said, but you know, God, I love you. And I'm having a great time here. And I start praising him. Before you know it, then there'd be a little crack in somebody's armor.
Yeah.
You know, hey, John, you know, that's really pretty interesting. What said you were talking about the other day? And before you know it, there'd be 15 kids in this class, and 14 of them would be talking to me by the end of the semester.
Yep.
and there'd be, like, zero in the beginning.
Yeah.
Because, as soon as we're in the class, everybody knows I'm talking about the good Lord. You know what I mean? If something's coming out of there, it's going to be quoting a Bible verse, and I love it. And you do suffer it. But it's amazing how you know things can really turn around.
I need to have a class with you, John. Like my last semester, I'm just gonna schedule a random
class. Oh,
me and John tag team.
Oh, we really had some fun. You need to talk to a couple of the students. You're gonna get a real kick out of it.
It's fun.
Oh yes, without a doubt.
You and Marlo would probably have a good time in my philosophy religion class next semester.
You know, maybe we need to go ahead and look at it. The one thing I wanted to go is the Job here. Job 20, verse 5. There were some other verses I wanted there, but I just wanted to go to one. And Gabby, can you read that one?
Where?
Job 20, verse 5.
Job 20, verse 5, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment.
And I'm going to tell you guys, and that's the truth, is that people that are wicked, they triumph for a very short period of time.
Right.
And the hypocrite, too, I'm going to tell you, their joy is for just but for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we want to make sure is that we're not hypocrites. Mm-hmm. You know, that's so important. And you know, when you're right standing with the Lord, yeah, you might go through a little bit of suffering, but you're going to get through it. But unfortunately, there's no joy for the hypocrite. There isn't. And it just says that right there. And the joy of the hypocrite is for a moment. We're not going to turn to this, but Nehemiah 8:10, it says here, for the day of the Lord is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorrowful, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Praise God for that.
Amen.
And then in Deuteronomy 7, I'm going to read this, and I want to make sure that you guys are going to stay on time. That it says, you saw with your own eyes great trials, miraculous signs and wonders, the mighty hand of an outstretched arm, which the Lord your God brought you out. And I just want that was part of the verse. You know, with our very own eyes, we're going to see trials, miraculous signs, and wonders, but the hand of the Lord, arm, is going to be stretched out and bring us out. And so, you know, the things that are you know, going on today, it's not going to touch us. We just got to have the right attitude. I believe it completely. We're not going to go through that. But what we've got to wind up doing is we're going to go through it if we're not doing what we're supposed to do. My brethren, this is my third favorite verse in the whole entire Bible. Actually, let's go to it. I want to go ahead and go to this. Let's go to James chapter 1. We're getting close to wrapping it up. And I'm going to read this one. This is really is probably my favorite verse. Is it?
You sound like Brian.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go to James chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 2. And you know, today's whole message is about trials, is what it's about. And, you know, and we really got to really get rid of our emotions when we're going in trials. The emotions is what brings us down. But
you're right about that.
It's the emotions that messes up. I'm going to read this. So everybody there is telling me yes?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You there, Brother Ryan? No, you're not there yet. James?
Hebrews?
Yep. Before Peter, chapter 1, verse 2. Okay, check it out. What does it say here, guys? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. I'm going to stop right there for 1 second, and I'm going to go to the NIV. I'm going to come right back to it. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. That's the NIV. I'm going to go back to the King James. That says trials. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, okay, guess what? You're going to, your faith's going to be tried.
That's right.
Work at patience.
Real quick, mm-hmm. Why is our faith tried?
Oh, I believe it's a test. I mean, I really believe it's to bring us closer to the Lord. And well, and what do you think?
What's the purpose of testing? It's to reveal something, right?
Mm-hmm.
All testing, you know, right? If
it's evil,
to reveal your knowledge.
Love.
All right, we talked about with the judgment seat of Christ. It's all about revealing your love for the Lord, if you love the Lord or not. That's what it comes down to. All this stuff after Satan, all this trial stuff. Oh, I love you, Lord. Oh, yeah? What about if I take this away? Or what if I do this? What if I do that? You still love me? Or you just love what I gave you? Oh, yeah, God does that.
I want to tell you something. I don't know a married couple that I've ever met that has not been tried, both on the male side and the female side, with meeting another person. I don't think there's one time in my entire life that I've never met a couple, because I've got a lot of couple friends, and I've had a lot of couples friends all my life, that has not been tried in that area. And you know why? It's to see if you really love the other person.
Yep.
So when you just brought that up, it made me think. I think about my brother, my cousin, my closest friends, you know, Mike Johnson. I mean, it's just one after another. And it's to really see if they really love the other person.
That's right. And that's what God's doing with all these trials and stuff.
That's it. And so there's absolutely no question about it. And so All right, I'm going to go ahead. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And then, of course, but let patience have her, it's perfect work. What kind of work?
Perfect.
What kind of work?
Perfect.
It didn't say good work, did it?
Yeah.
No, it said perfect work. That ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. You know what? That's a cotton-picking good place to be, not to want to cut anything.
That's right.
I don't want anything. I don't think there's a better place to be. If you lack wisdom, let them ask God that giveth to men liberally, abradeth not, and it shall be given unto him. Praise God. Praise God. So, and brother, you just said it, that we've talked here about our faith being tried, but he said to count it joy. It lines up exactly with give thanks in all things. Because guess what it is, guys? It's a setup for an education.
Yeah.
If something's coming your way, you say, what's he going to teach me now? Because I'm going to start thanking him.
You're right.
That's the whole purpose of this message. When there's tests, there's trials, there's difficult times, say, Dad, what is it you're about to teach me?
Amen.
I'm ready to come through this. I'm going to be a better person for your use. And I'm thanking you. I mean, that's pretty exciting.
That's right. That's good.
That is good stuff to know, man, that we're going to go through this, that we're going to be better, stronger, better for his use, that he's going to bless us. Obedience, give thanks in all things. The blessing comes. And you know what comes after that, guys? Increase. You're going to become stronger, wiser. You're going to get more knowledge. And I'm telling you, you're going to get blessed. There is a true blessing. I have to sit here and give God all the glory. When I say this, going through that trial with the state and some other stuff, I'm the happiest guy I've ever been in my entire life, bar none. And it was because of that trial. 100%. And I mean it with all my heart. So what we got to do is when those difficult times come and say, Dad, what you about ready to teach me? You know, am I in the minor league baseball? Am I in the major leagues? Or am I in the Super Bowl? You know, because, you know, that's going to happen. You know, the bottom line is an athlete, you start off playing in the minor leagues, well, guess what? You're going to graduate into the major leagues, and then you're going to go to the Super Bowl. And then, you know what? You come through. Well done, my good and faithful servant.
That's right.
And you know, what is the biggest trial that we're going to face? What's the number one trial we're going to face? What do you think, Rich?
I don't know.
Death. Gotta be.
Yeah.
And so tell me, what is it? Where are we going after death? Where are we going?
Right to the presence of the Lord.
And is there a better place?
I can't wait to go.
No, right now. So, if we even talk about death, to be a great witness to others, didn't he say give thanks and all things? So we're going to be with the Father. We're going to be with Jesus. He's going to do his perfect work. So what are we supposed to do?
Give thanks.
So we're facing little trials. We're going to face the big trial one day, without a doubt. But we got to remember is he's going to take us to another place. So we've got be doing it with joy. We need to be rejoicing and going through this. But I gotta tell you that there are trials too. We want to be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove, bold as a lion. We want to follow the book as well,
Amen.
But giving thanks. You know, there are certain things that the Scripture does tell us to do. We're supposed to be wise.
Yeah.
We're supposed to be gentle. But we're also supposed to be bold as a lion. And I believe you're supposed to be bold as a lion with our faith. You know, and so those are the things that we're supposed to do, without a doubt. Now, let me tell you what. We're supposed to be conformed to God's likeness. If we're going to sit here and just be a little quiet, not sit a little church mouth, let me tell you what. You're not doing God's will.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
You're not.
Nope.
There's no doubt.
The thing is, there is a time for rest, but it's not now. Time of rest is not now. Time of rest, the Sabbath day was a picture of that. After you work all week, you have one day of rest at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're going to be resting, you know, in the millennial for sure. And, you know, if we're worthy, you know, we'll be ruling and reigning with Christ. If you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. You're eternally secure in Christ. That's very clear in the Bible. But there is a day of rest, but it's not now.
Sometimes, you know, people can say, like, I'm just content with being saved. It's great. It doesn't matter what I do. Yeah, that may be true, but you'll be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, and that shame will stick with you for eternity. Still be saved, but your life on earth is going to be an embarrassment. You don't get another chance at that. You know, and it comes out, you know, you could be saved and not love Jesus Christ. You can fall out of love with him. You know. And it's so funny, like, people at Flag of College are so spiritual, like, you got these people like, oh, well, you know, I don't believe in scaring people to get saved, or, you know, people are so concerned about individuals getting saved. What about, you know, the community? Why you can't focus on the individual? Isn't that selfish? No, God calls every man to repent, and that's the way he set the thing up. And, you know, people mess up when they just hear what God says and decide to go against it. Say, well, I don't care. Well, I got God's word on the matter, but I'm still going to do what I want to do. And the fact is, you know, I was right here in Philippians 3, it talks about how Paul lost everything. And he says, I count it all but dung. That's a proper word for what you flush down the toilet. And and Paul says, you know, I lost all the stuff. I suffered the loss of all things that I might know him and the power. And that's what it comes down to. It's all this, even, you know, like John, what you're saying is true. You know, all this trials reveals your heart, but it also gets you to know him more.
Without
and
doubt.
I'll tell you the truth. Ever since I started working at this place, I've learned more about my Savior than I don't think.
Because
you're going through the same things he went through. You
that's it. And
you got to walk in his shoes. You know what it's like.
Well, I want to tell you, you were just talking about Philippians 3. So, brother, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind.
Yeah.
I reach forth to the things which are before. I press towards the mark, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of Jesus Christ. So, guys, right now, what we've learning tonight is that we do forget some of the things in the past. We know, as of this Bible study tonight, that we should be changed tonight for the rest of our lives, without a doubt, that we have to take this in, that we're going to give thanks in what?
All things.
So
I need to be reminded of that, you know.
We
like,
do.
I'm not like with the whole job situation, you know, my flesh doesn't like it. Who likes sitting there and, you know, being called everything under the sun, under the sea, above the sea, under everything? No one likes that. Who wants to be around that, right? But I got to give thanks for that. Because you know what? They said that crap to Christ. They said all that type of stuff to him.
Well,
I don't know what he's going through, and for without a cause.
I want you to go ahead, and we're going to get ready to close. I want you to go ahead and read Mark 14, 32 through 36, Brian.
Was it 14?
Yeah, 14. Mark 14, 32 through 36. Leon, when you're there, tell me.
I'm there.
Okay, ready?
Mm-hmm.
And then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, sit ye here, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be sore amazed, and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt.
You were talking about this, and so it was my last note, and it really was meant for you, Brian. That I really felt 100% that with what you're doing with your job is so hard, with so much evil around you, that the Lord called you to be there.
Yeah,
and
that.
You opened up our prayer study tonight saying you know that you're supposed to be there. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that I really have gone into prayer for you about this, and the Lord consistently said to me that, Brian, you're supposed to be there, without a doubt. And the Lord called you to be there. And so, and to, you know, and thank him for being there, because what he's doing, Brian, he's molding you.
I know that.
That's what it's about. And yep. I don't know how long you're supposed to be there, but the Lord is shaping you there, and try to do your best not to take it home with you.
Yeah.
The difficulties of the job. I know it's not easy. I mean, you want to talk to people about it, but be careful about it, because we got to give the Lord praise and honor for what He's preparing you for.
Yeah.
And what's going on in your life. And then Jesus even went to the Father and said, and that, Lord, take this from me.
Yeah, because He knew it was gonna be tough, man.
He knew that it was gonna be tough.
And He knew that He was gonna be, forsaken of God on that cross for a little bit. Never happened before in eternity. Can you imagine?
That's right. And guys, how fortunate we are that He willingly.
It wasn't pleasing to Himself, but it was pleasing to God, and He went through it.
That's exactly right.
That's the way I'm viewing this thing right now. This job is not pleasing to me at all.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what, I'm not there for me. I'm there for Santiago or a couple of these kids that I'm getting through to already. That's what I'm there for.
Well, I'm really hoping that tonight, more than anything, that we'll learn how to control our mouth as well, because what we say is so important. It's really the most important thing is that, and I don't have another scripture where Jesus said, and I think it was in Matthew, say unto this mountain, be thou removed. But it's real important what we say. And so if the Bible tells us to give thanks in all things, then it's flat out telling us that we're not supposed to be
murmuring.
Talking smack and murmuring. We're not supposed to be doing that. So we can't do that. And I pray that tonight that we all understand it, that it's something that we're teachable, that we've heard it, and then we'll apply it to our lives, because it's a great thing.
Amen.
I'd like to close this up then in prayer.